Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, and John Paul Ramos.
Hello.
How is it going?
It's going good.
My goodness, if you missed our earlier programs, you've got to catch our... It's exciting to be a part of what God is doing. I mean, when God is speaking and you get a chance to talk about what God is saying, it's just exhilarating. And there is a piece of that we're going to make available to all of our partners that we didn't get a chance to share about a program that we had about how God was speaking very specifically about how upset he was about what's being said behind pulpits that doesn't line up with his word. I mean, some do and some don't, but the ones he was very upset about it. He showed very detailed things about it, but it's about the hand of God. We're going to make this available to our partners. Everything's available to our partners. It's very simple to become a partner. Just go to vfntv.com, partner for any amount whatsoever. It gets you into the green room, the specials and the teachings and different things for you. Just saying thank you, because it's with our partners and sponsors that makes this possible. But it is so cool, because what happened it has to do with the hand of God. And the whole world could have seen it. NASA saw it. But make sure you get a chance. We just want to say thank you. And that'll be made available to our partners. Go to vfntv.com and log in or partner today. We're going to be talking today about Ferguson. We haven't mentioned Ferguson, but we did mention a particular wisdom program. As I talked about, what is the title of that program about the stage being set?
We'll get that for you.
You're right. Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It takes all of us to be able to bring this to pass. And but
here it is. Yes, rules okay. For radicals. What is the root of this? And as Christians, how do we respond? The stage is set.
Oh, I like that last part. The stage is set for what's about to happen. And what's taking place in Missouri is a stage. There's a reason why, and we talk about it in that particular program. We don't want to go into it. But there's a reason. If you just listen to that, it'll encourage you to go listen to organizers of the night versus organizer of the day. And then you'll have this great wisdom that God revealed to us that we shared. We learned out loud. You'll hear us learning out loud. But then you just won't be stressed out. You won't be worried. As a matter of fact, I think you'll be confident, and you'll be armed with spiritual wisdom from God that you can walk boldly in your day-to-day life if you go there. Make sure that you go there. You can hear it. Go to the VFN Torch, and we're going to make a special version of that available for our partners in the partners area. You've got to go listen to this. It'd be a shame. You know, you can read about it now and listen to it now, and guess what? You'll respond appropriately. Or you can wait and read about it in the history books and find out, you know, that was me right there. Yeah, I lost everything. I didn't even know what was going on. I mean, it's like, so this is what I say about, you know, walking with Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me. And the ones that followed him and went with him wrote about what he did. And the ones that stayed and didn't follow him read about what they wrote. Yeah, I'd like to be a part. Even if we sink, we're trying to walk on water. Even if we have to get rebuked a few times doing, you know, it's like, I didn't mean to get that direction. I'm sorry. I guess calling me, get behind me, Satan wasn't good, but you have a vision for me that
the shelters thing was a bad idea. I'm sorry.
Let's just go. It's Peter, you know, when he was talking to Jesus, you know, don't think you need to go to Jerusalem right now. It's not a good time. So we're going to be talking about that today, about Ferguson, getting a viewpoint, because everybody's attention's focused, a lot of people's attention's focused, not everybody, but the media sources and the people who want to do America harm, plus the people in Ferguson who want justice. And everybody that you see on your cameras in Ferguson are not from Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people in Ferguson, store owners and neighbors, and that they want justice to come into their community, and they don't want harm to happen to them. But this grand jury is a meeting convening. You're hearing that over and over again, but you don't really think about this. This is what we're going to talk about, this and also the U.S. military right now, the soldiers are reporting that they felt intimidated about even bringing their faith up, even letting anybody know that they're a follower of Jesus Christ, that they're a Christian. And of all the rights that you have to give up when you join the military, your religious freedom is not one that you have to give up.
Mm-mm.
But they're beginning to give it up. And so Congress, as we speak, are investigating this. And so we just want to believe and just say, God, that you would turn that all around back to where it was, in a better place than it was, and that the soldiers could be bold for you. And that's what you're fighting for. You're fighting so that we all can stand up and express our beliefs.
Yeah,
the First Amendment. So don't let anybody tell you that. But we'll be talking about that, because the question is, this might be happening in your workplace. This actually could be happening what you call the church. This could be happening in your government position. It could be happening in your school, as where you work in a school board, maybe a classroom. And the big question is, so I'm seeing a lot of people. This is how they respond. They go, I'm out of here.
Mm.
And they just quit. Or they just leave. Or they go silent. And we want to find out, what does God say about those three responses? And it's going to encourage you, because you need clarity. We need clarity about what to do. A lot of times we don't mind doing it, but nobody's talked to me. This is what people talk to me about. We got to have that paycheck, we need a job, and you're going to retire from this military thing, so you don't blow it here. You got 4 more years left. I mean, things like that, instead of saying, what does God say?
Mm.
I mean, God, who's holding all things together, who will back you up, by the way, even if you get thrown in a fiery furnace, he'll back you up, but you're going to face him either way in the end. And so we want to find out what God has to say about it. By the way, it's great wisdom, and I think you're going to, it's going to really, really encourage you. But first, there's Ferguson. The tensions are building, and you're hearing the word grand jury, grand jury, grand jury. And we're going to talk about that after you see this segment from CBN about Jessup's reporting. We need to pray for all of our reporters, all of our Christian reporters. And they're everywhere. There's some in CNN. There's some in MSNBC. There's some at Fox. There's some at CBN. They're all around the place. But we got to pray for them, because they're between a rock and a hard place. And they're stepping into areas to tell us what's happening. And we need to pray for them. They're like brave missionary soldiers going mm-hmm. in to take our eyes in there so we know what's happening. And, I'm telling you what, there's two reporters at CBN. I'm just thinking, oh. We got to pray for them and support them, because this is, and I think this too, and God's beginning to show me this, that maybe you are the future reporter, that God's beginning to show me that Christians who understand the kingdom, that you are going to be like an embedded reporter in your life, and with all the capabilities, even in your cell phone, has more than the previous rockets that shot off to go out and land on the moon. That one cell phone has more technology in it than they had in those space rockets early on. You can use that in conjunction with VFN TV and the Data Radio Program. We're going to partner together. I just want to give a big shout out to Avi Mizrahi in Israel. I just see, embedded reporters in Israel as we're working together. We'll make it available to the nations immediately. I see, in Haiti, I see... Sila and Haiti, and those that are on the front lines. And then we're going to be able to show you immediately, without all that twisted corporate dung, is that right? Around it. Trying to go, what does it say in the scriptures? And so you can just, and it's like, wow, then get a perspective, then a biblical view. We're just excited about this. So be praying about that, and continue to watch VFNTV.com. That's where we're going to make it available to you. But right now, let's go to Ferguson. Let's go to Ferguson and see what is taking place, and think, when you see this reporter, realize he went there in the midst of that for you, for me, and for God. Watch this.
Some gun dealers in the Ferguson, Missouri area say their sales are on the rise. This while fearful residents wait for the grand jury's decision on whether to indict the police officer who fatally shot Michael Brown. Protest leaders say they are preparing for nonviolent demonstrations, but they also admit the risk of more unrest if the grand jury decides not to issue criminal charges against the white officer who shot the black 18-year-old. John Jessup is in Ferguson, Missouri, ahead of the grand jury's decision whether to indict Officer Darren Wilson. John, what's the mood like in Ferguson now, and any idea when the announcement will be made?
Mark, let's start with the announcement of the indictment. That is really the $6 million question here on everyone's mind. And really, that indictment decision can be made at any time now. They're expecting it as early as this week. But there is some theories that it might come a little bit later just to hopefully quell some of the potential unrest. But of course, that goes back to the fact that this was the scene, Ferguson was the scene of much unrest and violence back in August after the initial conflict. And they're hoping to avoid that this time around. As far as the mood, things are quite calm here right now. I had lunch with a local pastor from Ferguson, and he described it as eerily calm. And of course, people are thinking, like I said earlier, back to the summer where there was much unrest and much violence, and they suspect that those fireworks could erupt again here in Ferguson and in some of the surrounding areas.
Yeah, that brings up my next question. Is the city bracing for another possible round of violent protests like we saw this past summer?
Mark, they are. The city, the county, and local area authorities are bracing themselves and planning for more potential unrest. And of course, earlier this week, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon issued a state of emergency ahead of the grand jury's decision. And the whole goal here is to avoid the scenes that we saw, the whole nation and the whole world saw back this summer, where a lot of critics charged the law enforcement with using excessive, provocative, and militant force. So they've had 3 months to prepare themselves, and they say that they will allow for peaceful protests and demonstrations, but they will arrest anyone who breaks the law.
Now, you're there to cover area churches and their response to whatever happens. He said you had lunch with a pastor. Can you tell me what you've learned about their efforts to minister to the people living in the city and the surrounding areas, John?
Yes, well, you know, St. Louis has a history of racial divide, and in many ways, this has, even though it's a tragic incident, the death of anyone is tragic, this has kind of helped to bring some of the churches together. They are partnering churches with one another, and they're also partnering with local entities. The schools have actually asked the churches to help them provide safe havens for area students when the schools potentially close down after the indictment order or decision is made public. So these churches will be open 24/7 to allow places for students to come to a place that's safe and away from any potential violence, where they can be away and removed from that, and also have a place to learn and a place for warm meals. So in many respects, churches say that even though this has drawn a lot of negative attention to the city and surrounding areas, this is an opportunity for them to minister hope and healing to an area known for much unrest.
Very true. Good to see that the church is gearing up to help folks there and is already doing so. All right, our correspondent, John Jessup in Ferguson, Missouri. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mark.
So, Jessup, isn't this amazing? We just appreciate his reporting and what you're doing there. And make sure you support, you know, CBN, you know, be a part of that. And it's amazing. So what is this grand jury? How many people just go, you know, they just write that off and say, you know, it is somebody's guilty here and somebody's done something wrong, and they are actually trying to formulate what they did wrong? Or is it something else? More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you. So when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy. Welcome to the Army Navy Store with two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
A strong-willed person can be a great problem solver, but sometimes a little bit difficult to live with. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Psychologist Dr. Debbie Cherry is a self-described strong-willed woman, and her husband has figured out a way to get the two of them on the same page when there's a problem.
If you will grab a hold of her problem-solving skills and get her to help you solve a problem, she's great at it. But if you just attack the problem and just say, this is what you need to change, she's going to fight you. So I think probably Jim's wisdom, without realizing it, he would come at this and say, I've got a problem. I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me? And all of a sudden I spark and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. So try to engage her strong-willed skills that work and help her get involved in problem solving with you.
There's no doubt that understanding your spouse's strengths is critical to managing your conflicts with them. For more from Debbie Cherry today, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So we're hearing grand jury, but isn't it amazing? And I heard somebody talk about this, and I think this is really wise based on truth. Secondly, about the Constitution, because you as an American citizen, you're supposed to be considered innocent until proven guilty. So we should always look at you as you're innocent until someone proves, especially when, you know, before God, because every man is guilty, you know, in regards to, you have men's laws, and then you have, you know, moral laws with God. And so the ultimate judge of mankind. And so when they put people's picture in the newspaper or on a website and they say, you know, this person is arrested for this charge, and how many people immediately said they're guilty of what they're arrested for. And you know, when I, as a deputy, when I made arrests for individuals, I did not determine their guilt. I didn't arrest them because I think they should deserve 10 years in prison and I'm going to go lock them up and just pick them up. And my car, hey, jump in the car. I'm going to go take you to this place and put you in here for 10 years because I read in my statute book that this is, you know, I was judge and jury and all that, you know, and warden. But what I would do is if I saw or heard, you know, that people had to do a warrant affidavit, but just say, for example, I saw what appeared to be a crime to me, and probable cause is defined as this, is that you have probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed or is about to be committed. You have reasonable suspicion would be a reason to stop someone, but you have probable cause, which means there's something happening that they did or evidence around them that looks like potentially they did. Not that they did, but just there was enough there to say, you know what? We need to surface this thing and talk about it some. And so what we have at that point, we have the officers, which are our servants, and we thank God for our police officers, but their responsibility would be is to bring that person in, even if it's their fellow officer. bring that person to this particular place that we can talk about this. That's called a grand jury. There's no guilt. There's just an idea that potentially, you know, a crime has been committed. Let's back up a little bit. If an officer has seen probable cause for a crime, you know, a person, you know, potentially committing a crime, he can make the arrest, she can make the arrest. And if it's a misdemeanor, there's no grand jury. If it's a felony, then it has to go to a grand jury before, and probable cause has to be established. If they can establish, if the officer themselves can establish that probable cause happened, then they don't need a grand jury because probable cause has been established already. But in regards to a felony, according to the Sixth Amendment of the United States, you have potentially 16 to 23 of your fellow citizens who live in your own community will look at all the stuff that's being said about you, and they will look and see if there's any probable cause. That's called a grand jury. And so what you hear right now, media is convicting people immediately. And it's an interesting thing that they're convicting right now. They're convicting, if you look over the last few years, pretty much has to do with all this authority, whether it's authority in your community, whether it's authority in the church, whether it's authority law enforcement, whether it's government officials. I mean, it's like it's a coming against anybody in a place of authority, and people are automatically saying because there's a grand jury, then they're guilty. But the grand jury is about someone who's going to, your citizens, they're going to be looking at it and to see if there is probable cause there, which means there might not be anything at all. And when the grand jury's done, everybody walks out and say, hey, this is totally off base. This person is not, there's no probable cause around this individual that they've committed any crime whatsoever. In other words, they are innocent. They're innocent. Mm-hmm. And even when they do say, a grand jury says, we believe there's probable cause, they're still innocent until proven guilty. They're just saying, we don't really know, but we believe there is a crime potentially committed. So then they go to a jury, and at that point they do it. This is your Sixth Amendment of the Constitution, just so you can think about this. This is what you have as a right. This is, you have this as a right when you become a citizen of America. It's the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Let me find this one right here that's flipping. Amendment 6 says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused, this is the American citizen's right, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public, in other words, everybody gets to see this thing, to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. In other words, you can't just go pull some people from some other state over there. What you have right now, you have people coming from outside of Ferguson, Missouri, trying to prosecute this case. And it's like, you know, the Constitution says we need some Fergusonites, you know, some people from Ferguson.
That's right.
That know me, that grew up with me, that mm-hmm. worked with me, that was my teacher, that was my lawyer, that was my doctor. And they saw me at the little store down the street. These are the folks that needs to be mm-hmm. the one on that grand jury. Mm-hmm. Because they know more about me than what's just happening. So it has to be from Ferguson. And he says, and this needs to be ascertained by law and be formed prior to this happening. In other words, you have to have that established already. This is our procedure. This is the district. To be confronted, he has a right, or she has a right, to be confronted by the witnesses against you. You can't have all these people that are saying, you know, I can't tell you about this person, but this person right here, they're the ones that's going to, you know, do you in. And it's like, okay, the Constitution says they need to look at me in my face, and they need to tell me to my face, this is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. That's a right you have as a citizen. That's why people, and then he says, you actually have a right to, a compulsory right, that you can actually force them by law to show up to your trial, to stand in front of the entire public people and say what they said. And think about that. When people are lying against you, I mean, are they really going to go and sit on a witness stand with television cameras on them? And people have done this, and it turns in on them. And they're going to keep this lie up in front of the entire world, where they're going to end up persecuting, perjuring themselves, because that's what they'd be doing. Or they could be an actual witness that's going on. And so you have a right to that, the public aspect of that, and you can compel them to come by law. And to have an assistant counsel for your defense. In other words, if you can't afford to have an attorney, our Constitution says we will make sure you have an attorney. This is huge. Is that not? I mean, if you study history, this is not how it worked. The way it worked was, you know, I think it was Stalin made this statement. It may have been Stalin, one of the leaders of Russia. He said, you know, tell me. They asked him about a citizen. They said, you know, did he violate a crime? And this is his response. You tell me the man, and I'll tell you what crime he's committed.
Mm.
Because there's so many laws right now that have been put up that it's like, if we don't have this Constitution and this right and our Sixth Amendment rights, where we can stand there free, in other words, I'll serve on the jury for you if you'll serve on the jury for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, we got to stop getting out of jury duty.
Yes.
We need intelligent, biblically minded, Christ-centered, constitutionally aware, caring, loving citizens mm-hmm. on juries. That listen to the evidence and maybe, and so what happens with the grand jury is just an exploratory group that just says, okay, it's 16 to 23 folks, I believe. And then they come in and everybody, and there's no rules and stuff like this in the court. It's like, just let it rip, talk, whatever. They can ask whatever they want to, because nobody's being convicted here. Nobody, it's just like, we're just searching for, is there any evidence at all that probable cause for a crime? Which means this, if you have 16 to 23 people that's from your community digging through your life like a haystack and through that incident and what took place, and 16 to 23 people in your community come out and they say, we couldn't find nothing. We should respect the grand jury's decision because they took their time to go and they're sworn into this thing and they take their responsibility seriously. When you have 16 to 23 I mean, that's going to bring a balance to that. Mm-hmm. That's an intense, everybody's mm-hmm. opinions are coming in. It's just beautiful. Is that not beautiful?
Yeah.
That is totally beautiful. We get back from the break. We're going to have a simple, you know, whiteboard discussion. You know, what is a grand jury? About 2 minutes. So you can be empowered and you can share this with your friends, because we need to know in America right now, what is a grand jury? What does it mean? Because they're talking about a decision and we should honor that decision, whatever that decision is. And even if they come out of this thing and say that he hasn't committed a crime or he has committed a crime or we see no probable cause that a crime has been committed, is what they'll say. Or we see a probable cause that possibly one has been committed. Remember, still, there's innocence. Now it goes to the next phase, which is a jury of 6 to 12 citizens from that community. They're going to go intently with prosecutors and defense attorneys and with the judge, and they're going to work out. And they still have to prove his guilt. He does not have to prove his innocence, or she doesn't have to prove their innocence. You have to prove beyond a shadow of doubt that they're guilty. More, we'll get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program is visit our sponsors. Visit our sponsors and, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
How it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today and become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the church is, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand, 24/7 VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. But who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one today. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world. I want to welcome on the Gulf Coast every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so humbled about being there, but we know that God has called us to be able to be light, you know, on the Gulf Coast, and on VFN Radio around the nation and around the world. We're just getting requests in from Pakistan. We'll say a big shout out to all of our sisters and brothers in Pakistan, as our president would say, to be able to, you know, come and somehow participate and speak, you know, in a virtual way. There's just so many different ways to be able to just give hope and share.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Don't forget, you can find out more information about the original 10 of our nation on VFNTV.com on the VFN Torch under series. We have the original 10 of the nation where we talk about constitutional things. And we're not constitutional lawyers or anything, but we're citizens.
Yes.
Don't let anybody pull out of your hand that you are the one. It's called We the People in order to form a more perfect union. The reason why, we're talking about grand juries, the reason why government has to submit to you, grand jury, is because you are in control. You're in leadership in America. So the officers have to bring their case before the people of America in a gathering called a grand jury, according to the Sixth Amendment, and let you look at it, see what you think. Because you're going to say, you know, the government has to submit to you. I mean, it's the whole thing is to keep from having a overreaching government. That's the purpose of it. Government means any government employee anywhere with any laws that have been created from Congress down to the local dog catcher, that you have that. And it's, this is, grand juries are for felonies, not for misdemeanors. And so we have right now with this big thing coming out, they're making a big thing about the situation is, and we're all for justice. You know, God knows. And understand sometime if I tried to talk about something for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and you didn't talk about it, you didn't acknowledge it because everything was always going your way. The money went your way. The economy went your way. The jobs went your way. The housing went your way. Favor went your way. And now I have an opportunity that you can't get away from that's going to force you to have a conversation. You can think logically about it, or you can just have the conversation. And right now, what's happening in America, I believe we have a lot of our fellow citizens who are saying, I want to have the conversation. I want to have this talk. At the same time, the viewpoint that we're talking about here is a constitutional right and a grand jury. What does a grand jury mean? And we need to honor the people of Ferguson who are meeting right now or, you know, have met on this grand jury. And they're the ones that actually know what's going on more than anybody else because everything's being presented to them. As a matter of fact, let's watch this simple little two-minute. What is a grand jury? And it's our, it is your constitutional rights, the Sixth Amendment, which I read earlier. Watch this.
In this video, we will discuss grand juries. A grand jury determines whether there is enough evidence to accuse or charge someone with a crime. But grand juries do not determine whether someone is guilty or innocent of the crime. The grand in grand jury means big. Federal grand juries are bigger than trial juries and usually have 16 to 23 members. You can think of a grand jury as a shield against unjust prosecution. Among other things, a grand jury is supposed to make sure that if there is no evidence, a person will not be accused of a crime. For example, let's say there was a robbery. The police investigate the robbery and they find a fingerprint. And the fingerprint belongs to David. The prosecutor will show the fingerprint to the grand jury and say, we want to prosecute David based on this evidence. The grand jury has to determine whether there is enough evidence, probable cause, to accuse David of the robbery. Let's say the grand jury decides that there is enough evidence to accuse David of the crime. We would say David has been indicted by the grand jury on the charge of robbery. The head of the grand jury will sign a document called an indictment, which charges David with the robbery. Remember, though, at this point, David is still innocent. But he has been accused of a crime. The Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution guarantees a person's right to a grand jury for felonies under federal law.
So we're looking at the amendment rights that we have. When you talk about the Fourth Amendment, when you're talking about probable cause is spoken about in the Fourth Amendment. When he says the right of a person to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrant, in other words, somebody can't just grab you off the streets, shall be issued but upon probable cause supported by an oath. And so we're looking at here in the context of this, and I'm reading from this little book. I didn't get you a little small booklet about the Constitution so you can have it because it's your rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so the grand jury, and the reason why it's grand because it's a big bunch of folks, you know, 16 to 23 or whatever from your community that are going to look. We the people are going to look at all these things that are going on to see if there's any probable cause. And probable cause is reasonable suspicion to believe that potentially a crime has been committed or was about to be committed.
I have a question. What happens then if the grand jury comes back and they say there is no probable cause?
Then that means they're innocent. You know, we're not lawyers. We're not giving the legal, but it means that we, the people, this large group of people, looked at everything that was presented, and maybe everything wasn't presented at that time, but everything was presented, and they said, we found no probable cause, which is mm-hmm. the Fourth Amendment, which means the Fourth Amendment held the grand jury to the fact is that this citizen has to have their rights in regards to, if there's no probable cause, you know, you gotta let them go.
The citizen has been accused.
Yeah, accused, mm-hmm. wrongly accused, because they're innocent at this point. They're innocent. And so you have to say, by the way, people are innocent until proven guilty, but this whole system is set up in such a way that with me, what is this? Really, a lot of it is media where, you know, people just automatically begin because the officers will tell you, you know, this case is going to go before a grand jury. This case is going to go before a jury of your peers, and I'm going to talk and present my evidence and what I know, and the witnesses are going to come in based on what they swore to, and you're going to hear all that, and we're going to present our case to your neighbors, this jury over here from your community who had a driver's license, and they picked their name, and they're going to come in, they're going to sit. And it was the judge was selected by, you know, color marbles. You know, every judge has a different marble color, and so we just pull the next marble out of the gumball machine. And blue happened to come out, so you got the judge, whatever his name is, because he represents blue. I mean, everything's so fair in that context to make sure that when the citizens look at this thing and they go, listen, there's no cause, it's called innocent. It's called innocent. And so we have to understand, when we're looking at this huge overreaching government right now, sending people down there to reportedly interfere with what's happening, it's the grand jury's responsibility to not allow that to happen, and it's for the authorities there to protect that grand jury that nobody messes with them while they're looking at the evidence that's going on.
So if they do say there is probable cause, that doesn't mean that the person's guilty. It just
Correct.
Means there's just enough information to proceed. Is that right?
Right. It means that there's a reasonable suspicion to believe a crime has or potentially was going to be committed. In other words, somebody's about to break into a house, but they have a crowbar and a hammer and a hood on, you know, with the, you know, a bandit thing on their face. And so, but that just still means that okay, this big grand group of we the people got together. They allowed everybody to, and they could ask any questions they want to. There's no rules, I don't believe, at all. I mean, you could just go like, wow. Hey, Bubba, come over for a minute. So you're telling me, which is great because it lets them think the way they think and talk the way they mm-hmm. thought and get the information that, because we're all differently how we get it. Because the next level, when you actually do have probable cause, even though you're still innocent, you're going to go to the courthouse, and the judge and a jury is going to be there, and they got to prove your guilt. And if they can't prove it, you're innocent. And it's beyond a shadow of doubt. They have to prove it beyond a shadow of doubt, which means if there is a potential that 10% chance that you didn't do it, then they can't convict you. They have to convict you based on beyond a shadow of doubt. I mean, how many people admit they watch a television program and they're just like, you mean they're just speaking all this stuff on us? Like they haven't even gone to a grand jury. And the word indictment, I mean, you see people using that for political power and to demoralize people and to put a shadow over them. And you're looking at governors that have been indicted, like Governor Rick Perry of Texas. So people go, oh, he's been indicted
right
for a grand jury to prove his innocence. I mean, you don't even know. And so we have to educate ourselves that we don't buy in to this, you know, organizing effort of our nation where anybody's trying to organize in a dark way to be mm-hmm. able to remove our constitutional rights and realize, well, let's wait for the grand jury. I mean, if you're going to – people love to get armbands, right? Let's mm-hmm. start having armbands. It's like, let's wait for the grand jury because yeah. I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's your worst enemy, and I don't think you should have one necessarily a worst enemy, but you want them to have – if you're – I believe Dr. King said this, that injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. Mm-hmm. In other words, if your neighbor doesn't get justice – then nobody's getting justice. And right. what Dr. King was talking about, hey, we got an entire segment of the human race that's right here in our nation, and everybody's not being treated fairly. And so injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And so we want justice. But justice is about bringing things into order. It's about, you know, making things right in the context of that. And I'm not an attorney or anything like that, but I am a citizen. And you're a citizen, and you can speak with authority if you'll – you know, get into the Constitution. It's just a simple little, get you a little simple little book, carry it with you in your pocket, and just read it every now and then. Understand that Washington exists. Washington, D.C. exists because it's written about in here. When you hear, you know, leaders stand up and say, according to Article 4, we're having this committee, what they're talking about, it's Article 4 in the Constitution. I mean, everything, Congress and the House of Representatives, the judiciary branch, the executive branch, all these things are written about the vice president and how old you got to be president, who can be a citizen and who can vote and who can't vote, and all these different. It's in a small little booklet like this. This is what, and we're going to go to break, but this is what I really believe, that if we don't get into this, if we don't get into this, the Bible, if we don't pick it up and begin to abide with Jesus Christ, begin to find out his ways, this little small thing right here that's stumping evil folks who want to do us in, it'll just go away. But you think he's going to let us keep the word over this nation that gives us these rights if we don't say, God, I want to keep this word, your word, over me? 81% of Christians in America, according to George Barna, don't even pick their Bibles up at all. And the 19% that do, only 3% of those even read it like we're reading the Constitution. They apply it to their life. Listen, it's time for us to say, Lord, I want to get your word right, and I want to get the Constitution right, and by your grace and in view of your mercies, I want to walk as a good citizen in your kingdom and in America. There's more on VFNTV.com about this. Go to VFN Torch. You look for series and look for the original tent over America. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. Welcome to the Army Navy Store with two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and in Fort Walton Beach.
We have ammunition, weapons,
tactical gear, survival gear, uniform, patches, and much, much more. Call, go online, or visit us today.
Man, we have so much to talk about today. I wanted to be able to talk about gratitude. That's so important. But first I want to talk about Duck Dynasty. Why? Because it seems that our viewers and listeners, anything to do with Duck Dynasty.
Oh, my goodness.
So did I tell you about Duck Dynasty? There was two guys in camis that walked into a donut store. They, I have a chance to flip, you know, after looking at our ratings and seeing that you love Duck Dynasty, we are going to have some camis done for John. So he can show up.
Yeah, and my beer.
Your what? Your beer?
Yes, my beer.
It's called beer.
Oh, duh. Beer. Duh.
Beer. That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
That's so funny. That's funny. Anyway, so
here in the South, it's beard.
Beard.
Yeah.
Right, beard. I'll have to remember that beard.
And, so, and we got the cami. We're going to get the camis, I guess, done up for him and all that. But,
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. We were going to do it, but it's so much lower budget for the cost of amount of material that we have to use. You know, only a yard, right? Only a yard of material.
Just a yard.
With me, it's like 7 yards, 8 yards, something like that of material. I forgot how many yards it takes to fix stuff. You know, obviously I don't know nothing with that. So, but yeah, Duck Dynasty. So if you get a chance, we're talking about Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
So it fits in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Soldiers are reportedly, according to CBN, saying that we're being persecuted for our faith. We feel fearful to tell people that we're Christians and to be able to share our faith. Think about that. Soldiers who said, yes, I will defend the United States of America and its Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, which says the First Amendment tells us very specifically that they're saying I'm willing to lay my life down for the very First Amendment. It says Congress shall make no laws representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Think about that. Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of a right of people to be able to assemble or to petition their government for grievances. Think about this one more time. The First Amendment to the Constitution, the very first one. Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging freedom of speech. In other words, you may have to give up a lot of rights when you're in the military, and you do because that's what it is. But you don't give up your constitutional rights. Mm. That's what you're fighting for. But you got to make up your mind. Who am I living for? I might be fighting for America, but who am I living for?
That's right.
And that's when you find out if you're going to let people edit your speech. But I want to encourage you, please. Don't stop being who you are. And I want to say thank you, for saying yes to I will defend the country. And maybe some of you said yes, but you didn't want to say yes to it. They said charge. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Where? What? And so these things are happening not only in the military, and they got an investigation. Congress is investigating reportedly as we speak about these accusations that are going on. And they're going to find out. And we just need to pray for Congress that they're going to really truly investigate this thing. And they're going to remember the Constitution was, they swore to uphold from enemies foreign and domestic. Every one of the political leaders in our in Washington, D.C. held their hand up and took an oath. They swore. We're going to make this a related link so you can see it, but you can see it on the BFN Torch. I swear to protect the Constitution of the United States from enemies foreign and domestic. In other words, enemies outside of America and enemies inside of America. In other words, if your captain tells you that you cannot do what the First Amendment says, I, as your congresswoman and congressman, as your senator, swear that I'll jump in there and I'll straighten this out. So that's why you have Congress investigating these accusations, because that's what they're supposed to do. They're swearing that they'll do that. That's the oath they take. We have all their oaths available to you.
Reminds me of the Marines that were singing, "These are the days of Elijah," and were boldly proclaiming what they believe.
That's right, yeah.
I got, I hope I can get this in. I got three things I want to talk about because these are people's responses. Some is that they're just quitting their job. They just quit. I'm out of here. Five judges left when they started talking about different things. Mm-hmm. It's like, is that the right thing to do? The next thing people are doing is they're leaving. They're asking the question, do I leave or do I don't leave? You know, the right way. Like, I'm going to put in my notice. And the quitting is a protest. I'm out of here. I can't believe you did that. The second one is, okay, I'm just going to leave here, or I'm not going to leave. You got to ask yourself, should I quit? Should I not quit? Should I leave? Should I stay? And the last one is, which a lot of people are doing this, is, should I say anything? Am I going to be silent? And so what does God tell us to do as Christians? What is Jesus? And he told us very specifically, there are basically seven spheres inside of a nation, inside of a culture, that determines where that that country is going to go. And when you think about these, they are, you know, this, you can almost think of them as mountains. They're so significant. So you can say, like, there's this religion mountain, you know, who is going to be in regards to how are we going to perceive God and how are we going to follow him? There is the family mountain. How do we perceive family? There is in culture, education, government, media, arts and entertainment, and business. And so all these different areas. Well, these soldiers are like in government area, you know. How are we going to influence? What are we supposed to do with that? And do you quit? And understand if you're the only one there with a flashlight and you complained about how dark it was, how dark do you think it's going to be when your flashlight leaves? If you're the only one with a pack of matches in a dark room, and you walk out, will there ever be any light there at all? Well, what did Jesus tell us to do in these situations? This is what he said to do. Constitutionally, you know what you do. We just talked about it. But Jesus said specifically about quitting or leaving. He says in Matthew chapter 5, this is what Jesus tells us. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who went before you. You, sir, you, ma'am, are the light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's not good for anything except for being trampling down, thrown down underfoot. You, sir, you, ma'am, are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to the whole house, to everyone in the whole house. This is Jesus talking. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He tells us it's supposed to look like that. Don't quit. You're the only righteous judge in the region. You're the only God-fearing judge in that city, for example. You're the only teacher in that school who gets on her knees and prays for those students and that principal every day. You are that light in the midst of the dark school. Do not leave. Do not quit. Stand for God. Constitutionally, you can stand. God commands us to stand. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You don't hide it. And then in regards to, do I say something, do I don't say something? We already know you can say something because the Constitution says you can say something. But what did Jesus say about saying something? This is what he said. He said this in Mark 8, chapter 34. He says, then, this is talking about this king in the end, he says, he shall call all these people together and his disciples, and he'll say this. Then he called the crowd to him, Jesus, along with his disciples, and he said this, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me, for the gospel, will be saved for this good news. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, but yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for his soul? If anyone shuts up, if anyone doesn't speak, this is what he says. If anyone is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes to his Father and the holy angels. Listen, that's called being ashamed of your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's like the rich young ruler. You know what? I love money more than I love God. I don't want to lose my job. You know what? The only reason you have the job, because God's blessed the work of your hand. He can give you another one. It's time for us to stand up. Don't run. Don't quit. Don't leave. Don't shut up. But don't be rude or religious. Just be loving and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And let them see good things, good deeds, operating in the principles of God in the presence. And like Joseph, even if you're being treated badly by Potiphar in slavery, guess what? He'll call you into his house because he'll see the blessings of God on you. What? God's name will be glorified. You may even turn the heart of a nation. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to now,
right?
Because it fits your life and your life fits the word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God. Mm-hmm. You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects. That's you right. are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.